Okay, turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles and chapter 15. Thanks, Pastor Fuad. It's great to have you here. And all the staff that worked for the camp, and then also the people that gave money to send campers to the camp from the city of Baltimore. Did that happen, Pastor Pete? Pastor Love? Pardon? Yeah, I don't know how many, 10 or 15 campers maybe, extra more, 60. And so why am I paying for my, oh no, okay. So, just think about it this way. You know, the body just giving for children from the city that maybe have never caught a fish before and or been in a foot race, and they go to the camp, and also they go to sleep in a cabin, and the overseer really cares about them. And they talk and they laugh. And I haven't met somebody yet that hasn't said in later in years that was just amazing. I love camp life. And I say, how old are you? 42 years old. But I went there years ago. How many years has it been now? I lost Pastor Love here. How many years? Camp? 1978. So what's that? Almost, it's 38 years maybe? Okay, so 2 Chronicles 15. King Esau, and we've been teaching about the toxic mind and detoxing, and there's a medical definition of detoxing. To detoxification from an intoxicating or addictive substance, often used before a noun, a regimen or treatment to remove toxins and impurities from the body. A well-designed detox can help purge your liver, colon, kidneys of toxins, clear your skin, boost your energy, and help you safely shed pounds. If you wanted to join the program, you can meet me after the meeting tonight. But the soul of man, detoxing the soul, and in the spirit, and I can sense the spirit here tonight in the words and the fellowship. And this has been powerfully important in our lives, to listen to what God says to our hearts. So we have the heart, and let's see, do I have a pen? I don't have a pen. Is it here? Okay. Do I have a blind spot right now? Okay. Okay, there it is. Thank you. How did you see that? Okay, so we have the man drawn like this. We have his mind and then his heart. And we will find in time in the world of science and neurological science and the study of the brain and the body of man, that the heart, as we read in Proverbs, is so important in regards to the mind. Because my heart is, in Ezekiel 36, we read in Proverbs chapter 4, how important the heart is in a man, psychologically and also physically. The scientists are even talking about a heart having memory. Wow, that's amazing. That even a heart can have memory, the organ. But let that be as it is. Detoxing and being infected with a toxin. And we mentioned a few this morning. Matthew 6:25 is one, and it is worry. And we care so much about the clothes, the food in our world, the politics, or our children. I mentioned this morning in the 11 o'clock service, the worry that we have for our children and grandchildren, and how easy that is. But the soul of man, in a way, is very vulnerable in our sin nature, and then all of the things that are happening in our world. And we lose control. There are now studies about multitasking. And in this technology age of phones and TV and everything, they are showing that people are losing their concentration and depth of thought. Intelligent thought is being lost for the sake of mindless, passive activity, which really has no real weight to it, but we move one thing to another, and we just are active and very busy multitasking. But are we losing our concentration? And I think no, because we are wired for concentration, but we also need to learn and be told to be quiet, to settle down, to have peace with God, to wait upon God, be still, know that He is God, in Psalm 46:10. Because the mind and the heart, they go together, and because of the new heart and the Holy Spirit, my mind is renewed. You will find your mind very capable at perceiving the spiritual because your mind is renewed. You can discern it. You can hear words and they touch your heart. You can see somebody's life and it stirs your heart. You can hear a testimony and believe that God did that. You can, like with the Olympics, we mentioned that a few times, the gold medal winners and those that had testimonies and talked about their disability or their disadvantages, and then having a determination and a focus in what they were doing. And many of them saying, like the women's team yesterday that ran the 400 relay, they got in a group prayer at the end. They just, all four of them, they just huddled up and they prayed. And the camera was there and you could see them as they had their eyes closed and were praying and thanking God for what they did. Concentration is part of the process for being detoxed in my soul from the worry. Here is an illustration of 2 Chronicles 15 of a king who actually went to war in a spiritual way with his mother. Now, this is not the perfect Mother's Day message. But to go against your mother is tough. It goes against my nature to go against my mother or disagree with my mother. How many times, how much would we go against our mother? But here in verse 16, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Esau, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol, stamped it, burnt it at the brook Kidron. Now, my soul, you know, my relationships, my worry for my children, my love for my mother, my willingness to compromise with idolatry, the confusion that happens in my soul, Pastor Stevens called it, it's called the scientific name, is the cognitive dissonance, where I know something is true, but I don't feel it. I don't believe it deeply. And they say that even if you know something logically, it doesn't mean that you really believe it personally. Even though logically something could be proved to you, you may not believe in it in your heart. You may have no feeling about it, or it doesn't matter. Like addictions are like that. You could prove it logically. If you gamble, you will lose money. You'll end up in poverty. You'll have definite troubles. But it doesn't matter, because the human heart isn't necessarily tuned in to logic. But there's other elements of life that the heart is tuned into. And for me to get detoxed is more than a mental exercise. It's a heart exercise. It's a relationship with God, and God helping me in these few words that I want to share with you. Number one, being available to God and surrendering my self-life to God. This is not my choice. It's up to God. Have you ever been in another country, as some of our missionaries have been, and many of you have been, and they say, in Hungary, we don't do it that way. Or in Russia, it is like this. Or Lebanese people do it like this. Or this is what we believe in the United States. I've heard that all my life because I've been 20 years in other countries. But I say, I don't care what you do in Finland. I'm not a Finn. I could try to look like one. I could try to talk like one, but I'm not a Finn. I didn't come here to become Finnish. I came here to be a man of God. I came here to be, I want to help, and I want to minister, but I'm not going to be Finnish. I have something else in my heart. I have a message here. I'm not going to be an American. I don't care about that. I am an American, but what kind of American am I? I'm not that way. I'm not doing that. I don't believe that. I don't think like that. I don't embrace that. I have something else going on in my life. Yeah, but your mother says, I don't care. My mother is it's over. She's not the queen anymore. She can go find another, go live in the garage, mother. All right, now honor your mother and father. I know I'm touching a nerve. I know that. I know it's a pastor. Hey. Listen, I'm serious about it. There is a problem in this country, in this world, and it is people are being yanked around by superficial, empty arguments and addictions and attitudes. And they could get cleansed and taken care of deep in their heart. And Asa could say to his mother, you're not the queen anymore. I love you. I'm going to respect you. But no more idolatry. Where is that idol? Burn it. I'm going to stamp it out. It's over and done. And I don't care who you are. You have nothing to say about this thing. I have something in my heart that is from God. Oh, Jesus was 1,000 times more fiery than I am. Oh my gosh, imagine if he talked to us. Man, wouldn't it be amazing? He'd go right at, that would be amazing. It'd be both disturbing. It would disturb all of us if Jesus Christ spoke to us exactly in the way that he would say it regarding our life, whether you are in Russia or China or Finland or Azerbaijan or Lebanon or Oman or America or whether, wherever you are. That whole language thing is for the birds. The kind of language, we do it this way. It's like, I don't care how you do that. It's not about our culture. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about Jesus Christ being in our heart. It's about God speaking to us. It's amazing when this kind of spirit moves in our heart, it affects our mind. And we read the Bible, and the Bible speaks to us. And oh, praise God, doesn't have a religious sound. It's Luke 4:32. No man has spoken to us like he has, for he has authority. For he does not speak as the scribes, in Luke 4:32. He is anointed. This is what happened to us and is happening. Number one is we concentrate on his presence, that Jesus is here and we're available. Yes, Lord, whatever you have to say about my mother, my father, my friend, whatever you have to say about my country, my past, my future, whatever you have to say about my job, my boss, my enemy, whatever you have to say about my money, my physical life, my personal life, my schedule, my calendar, whatever you have to say to me about anything at all, I would love to hear from you. Bring it on. What do you have to say? Because you are wired for this. You're wired for God to speak and it build you up, love you and encourage you and set you on a positive road of Holy Spirit influence. Have you seen Spirit-filled people? They are amazing people. They are so edifying, so loving. Have you found Spirit-filled people? They are so lighthearted. They are so simple. They are so edifying. The life is not that hard for them. Have you found them? Do you know them? It is remarkable. And that this room is filled with them periodically. Periodically, we have a good moment or two. Every once in a while. No, I would venture to say, whenever we assemble together in faith, God is good to us. And he is here to minister to us. And he says, take your shoes off. Many of us would say, I'm not taking my shoes off. And the Lord goes, okay. You know, sit there. Baptized in vinegar. As a sour, bitter, angry little person. Because your world isn't working out for you. You need to be detoxed. Take your shoes off. God will take care of you, clean you up, remove the worry and the fear, and put you up, set you on a rock higher than yourself. Concentration. Number two, listening and packaging. Listen and package. Cluster thoughts. One thought goes with another one. Packaging it. Many of you have been listening to the Bible for decades, and I can say a name like Joseph, and you have already a package. Abraham, you have a package. You have a doctrine. We have a message here, and your brain is firing off signals, and you're packaging what you're listening to, and you're thinking about it. Number three, you can write it down. By the way, writing down notes, writing down a paragraph, rehearsing it later, recalling, is all part of mind renewal. When you're able to write it down, you have to select words. It takes more effort. It is not as general, but you're able to package it and think about it and worship God with the doctrine, with the thought, and be focused. It's fun to sit quietly and listen and listen to more and listen and worship. We have learned in our ministry the highest form of worship is listening to God's word. Because as God speaks to us, we are able to relate to God with what he's saying. And we say, Lord, we should honor our mother and father. And the Lord said, yeah, but you cannot love them more than you love me. Yeah, but we should honor, we should be thankful for our life. Yeah, but your life is not more than me. I am God. Your life is not God. I am God. You worship me and have no other gods before you. You are lovers of yourself. That's why your soul is so worried. You love yourself so much. That's why you can't concentrate. That's why you go from flitting from one thing to the next and moving around kind of in a busy way, kind of just busy trying to fill up the time with your anxiety and your worry. And you need to hunker down, seek me, you will find me, I will speak to you. You will hear a message. It will speak to your heart. It will edify you, and you will worship me and be refreshed in it. You can write it down in a paragraph. You could write down many pages, maybe, and take your time and think about it. Number four, you can obey it. Not only be a hearer, but obey it quietly in a certain way. The Holy Spirit leads you in obedience. You obey it. Sometimes you don't even know it, but you're obeying what you heard. You have a meek spirit, a contrite heart. You're obeying. You're in the body. You assemble and you're obeying. You're listening and relating to God by faith and you're obeying. And you're getting prepared. You see, people talk about going abroad to the mission field when they should concentrate on obeying God right here. Let me say it again. I'll go to the mission field one day. That's what my work will be. How do you know that? Maybe you will never make it there. How do you know that? What is your life? Going to the mission field? No, it isn't. My life is deeper than going to some other place. My life is listening to God where I am. Worshiping God where I am and obeying God where I am. If I can't obey God where I am, how do I believe I will obey God when I go somewhere? I do not know that. It's a whole deeper thing than where I go, where I live. How about people that make pick and choose places based on what their preferences are? No. When I was in Bible college, it's an interesting story. We had a team go to California. Remember Leon DeVoid? And the group went, and there was a Lake Elsinore. There was that period. And then there was another group that went to Florida. And then I was asked to go to Finland. I said, how come I can't go to California? Actually, there's palm trees in Florida. Can I go to Florida? I went to Finland. It's like, what? But who cares? It's not my choice. The church prays and decides and sends. They asked me, with a beautiful team of people. And we didn't know often. We didn't know what, but we knew this that I have up here on the board. Honestly, this saved my life. This saved my life in Finland. being a listener and a worshiper have saved my life in my darkest times. And I'm not, haven't achieved any, I don't know anything about where, tomorrow morning a phone call and I'm devastated and on the floor like any human being. Or as Pastor Taggart said this morning, when you fall off a cliff, you will scream. Because you are a human being. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not any spiritual giant. I don't know a lot about this life that I'm living in, but I'm trying to encourage you, and I believe in what I'm saying tonight. Worship is such a key to my life. It detoxes me. It cleanses me. It prepares me. It leads me. There are people that get caught into human relationships with relatives, and relatives can take them out of God's calling. But Asa said to his mother, "You're not the queen anymore, and besides, the idol that you brought with you is ashes. It's over. I am the king. That's the way it is." And how about it? Where did that come from? How did he get that? What do we need in order to live in this crazy world? What do I need? I need a ministry. Politics isn't going to save our country. Revival will save our country. One man or one woman are not able to do what will change people's lives. The problems that we have, we've heard Pastor Taggart, Wisteria. Same thing. No, I'm joking. Pastor Wisteria said, these young people are tagged. And let's get them beyond the tag. What a good word. Let's tell them who Christ is. Let's lead them in faith and say, knock it off. Let's get going with God. We got a lot to do. God needs you. Our young people need a message. Our young people need somebody with a vision. Our young people need other young people that know they're going somewhere, that there's something worth living for, that there's something here amongst us that is called the presence of God. And the presence of God, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Okay. Practice what we hear and we'll find it working in our lives. Be patient. But let's go into this week and say seven times a day we're going to stop. I've gone into a private closet just for a few minutes, duck inside, get down on my knees, raise my hands, and just listen and say, "Here I am, Lord, listen." Before going into a meeting, sometimes I've just stopped for a few minutes, listened to God and said, "God, here I am." Remember that man in the gospel? I'm going to finish up, but listen. That man in the gospel, remember Jesus was crucified and they caught a young man, remember? And they grabbed him and he ran away naked. How many remember the story in the gospel? How many of you read the Bible? I haven't gotten to that part yet. But they grabbed him. It was John Mark, I believe. They grabbed him and he ran away naked. And I thought about it. When Christ is being crucified, and you know what is needed for me to be apprehended and to be naked before God and raise my hands before God and say, "God, here I am." Your crucifixion means that I am naked before a living God. Your crucifixion means that all my self-righteousness needs to be taken away. My own ideas and my own preferences and my culture and my own ideas and worries and that tape that plays over and over again about my past saying, "Oh, it shouldn't have happened to you," and all that has to be taken away so that we can hear him, focus on him, worship him, follow him, believe him, and obey him. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? let's this week just walk before him in encouragement. A lot of rejoicing, a lot of freedom, a lot of looking unto him and believing him. He's for you. He loves you. He is for you. He is for you. He loves you. Life is, yes, we are wired for a positive, loving, truthful, real relationship with God. Thank you, Lord. Anyone here receiving Christ tonight by faith, raise your hand. Anyone at all? Say yes to Jesus. Anybody? Yes to Jesus. Anyone? Raise your hand. Say yes to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Take away all our worry by your word. Take away all of our stuff, Lord, by your word. Prepare us for ministry right now, in the here and now. That we don't have to project into the future about things that don't even exist, but live in the reality of the God that is. Bless you, bless your people, bless you, Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless this week in every way. Thank you for the camp. Thank you for the leaders. Thank you for the ministry. Thank you for missions. Thank you for home, Baltimore. Thank you for your work here. Give us a great life in Christ in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.